This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group. They are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. They are team number one in every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament, including the upcoming annual season opener, Good versus Evil. This is chapter four of the Good versus Evil format that we have had on the Todd Wright Tour for 4 years running now. That tournament is sold out. I am taking submissions for the waiting list at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Brandon Legal Group not only plays in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, they often provide prizes and gifts for Todd Wright Tour players and gift baskets for Todd Wright Tour prize drafts. When you are in need of legal assistance, you need not ask, well, what type of law does Brandon Legal Group specialize in? They are a full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Sure, their home office is in Brandon, Florida. You need not live, work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. So call for a free consult when you are in need of legal assistance at 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. The Brandon Legal Group gang is one of a number of groups or people, however you want to deem it, that I have taken for fun to pin chasers. I was there last night at the Midtown location at 4847 North Armenia. They have two other locations, 5555 West Hillsborough and 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. No big deal last night, but I was there catching up with a wonderful friend who is keeping her name out of it, Miss International World United States, and she kicked my butt in both games that we played. She loved going to pin chasers. Her and one of her friends are actually actively talking to the GM, I believe it's Randy, of the Midtown Pin Chasers about hosting their own event there for some of their clients. It just shows Pin Chasers is a destination for so many different things: birthday parties, group outings, league play, date night, get out of the heat in the summer, get out of the rain any time of year in Florida. And I do want to bring attention to my friend Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl fundraiser coming up on Saturday, February 29th at Pin Chasers Midtown exclusively. And they have 50 lanes there. So this can be a huge fundraiser with proceeds going to Down Syndrome Association. Individual tickets are $65. You can buy a foursome for $200. And follow Pin Chasers on Facebook or listen to Drew Garabo Live. I believe if you go to theboneonline.com, all the info is there as well. I'll be talking more about that event, finding out which specific personalities from 102.5 The Bone will be there for you to meet and potentially mingle with, and in some cases likely stalk. As it relates to Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl at Pin Chasers Midtown Saturday, February 29th. Yes, 2020 is a leap year. I remember that because I hosted one of my Todd Wright Tour golf events on the previous leap year at Cheval 4 years ago. I thought by being on a leap year in that year, I think it was on a Friday or a Monday, I could pull off a weekday golf event. Not doing it again. But this leap year is on a Saturday. My email for the Todd Wright Toddcast is wright.todd@yahoo.com. A quick thank you to those at the Identity Tampa Bay, not only for shining a light on podcasts and bringing attention to podcasts originating in the greater Tampa Bay area, but for mentioning mine as one of 10. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the mention, especially considering the company that you put me in. some really talented people were mentioned on that list, and I'm flattered that I was included. I am cutting this Toddcast on Friday afternoon. I was just listening to the open of Drew Garabo Live before turning that off and turning on the microphone for this edition of the Toddcast. I want to give you a preview of the Saturday NFL divisional playoff games, and then I will come back at some point and give you a preview of the Sunday games in a separate Toddcast. So in order, first game, and last one we're going to get this year on NBC. So this is the last time we get to enjoy the NBC production, all their production values, their camera angles, their graphics. It's wonderful. It's the best out there. And Al, Chris, and Michelle working the game, and the Football Night in America crew doing their pre- and intermission reports. So that all said, it's Vikings and 49ers. I mentioned in the previous Toddcast, I thought one of the better coaching moves of last weekend was how the Minnesota Vikings changed how they would attack Drew Brees and the Saints. It effectively neutralized Alvin Kamara, which sadly, even if you're an Alvin Kamara fan, isn't that difficult to do and is going to force the Saints' hand on how they use Kamara going forward. Because he's just not – all those questions that we had about McCaffrey coming into the NFL about whether or not he could run between the tackles that he has solved, Kamara has now raised all those questions now that he was the number one back in New England once Mark Ingram moved on to Baltimore. But the Vikings brought their best pass rushers not off the edge. They brought them up the middle in the interior, and the Saints – took quite a while to adjust, or never adjusted. Never is probably the better term, considering they lost the football game. Also, Marshon Lattimore is such a key guy in the secondary for the Saints. In a collision with another player in overtime, he was knocked out of the game. And as a result of that, the Vikings hit on a big play to Adam Thielen, and then hit a fade to Kyle Rudolph, and the game was over. The Niners are significantly more talented in the secondary than the Saints are. The Niners' defense, at its best, is one of the best units in the National Football League. And it was the Niner defense, as much as anything, that allowed them to get off to such a fast start this season. And honestly, the Niners... now, they did win a game against the Saints this year that was played in the 40s. What was that? 48-46, I believe, early to mid-December. The Niners won that game against the Saints. So the defense has had its off games, but when that defense is on, it's very good and will cause problems for the Vikings offense. The Vikings have been an inconsistent team, started off so slowly. You had a significant amount of run plays being called. It led Adam Thielen to speak publicly about the frustration of that. And then the Vikings adjusted and started using Kirk Cousins more on designed rollouts or bootlegs to allow him the extra time he needed to feel comfortable to make those downfield throws. And it worked very, very well. However, in the last month of the season, when the Vikings had everything in front of them to win the division, earn a first-round bye, or maybe even home field throughout the playoffs, the Vikings kept coming up short. Some of that might have to do with a couple of key injuries, Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. They had both of those players back last week, and it allowed the Vikings to play more at their best. Now there are more questions this week about Thielen and, to a lesser extent, Cook. You wonder if they gave it all they had last week and now they don't have as much to give the following week. Meanwhile, the Niners had the benefit of a full week of rest. They had just had some players coming back in the secondary for those last couple of games, And I know the question gets raised about teams getting the first round bye, and does it make them complacent? Does it lead to them getting off to a slow start? You know, let's just point at two obvious things here. Number one, you don't have to play a game the first round where you could lose. You know, the Patriots have never won a Super Bowl in a year where they had to play in the first round. And this year will also follow that script. Also, as there's more and more attention on the physical limitations of football players, being able to rest your guys after the regular season ends, knowing the last bye week for all teams was week 12. Now, that doesn't apply specifically to all four of the teams that had the first round bye, but I think those two factors outweigh the negatives of the bye week. And the simple math is, instead of being one of 12 teams when the playoffs start who can win the Super Bowl, your bye gives you the automatic, you're one of eight. You don't have to compete to get to the eight like eight other teams do. So let's see what the Vikings come up with coaching-wise. The Niners have had some games on offense. And Jimmy Garoppolo often has the finger pointed at him when that happens. For as much winning as Jimmy Garoppolo has done as a starting quarterback, it's pretty amazing to me how he takes the blame when he loses. Now, many would say, well, welcome to the world of being an NFL quarterback. But the thought here is that John Lynch did effectively build a team that could be a Super Bowl contender. Now, do you have the right quarterback to lead you to that championship? We have brought up before here on the Toddcast that if for whatever reason John Lynch felt Jimmy Garoppolo was not that guy and wanted to move on to someone else, and let's just say there's a big name out there who some say might be looking for a new team in the offseason. I think he'll be back in New England, but the quarterback market actually will be more active than you think this offseason. And you're saying, well, wait, they gave Garoppolo all that money. There's no way they can move on to that. It's going to probably be as difficult as, you know, how Philly can't do anything with Carson Wentz, even though he can't play a quarter in a postseason game. No. You know, if Garoppolo tanks this game, I mean really tanks it, John Lynch, if he wanted, could move on to somebody else as his quarterback next year, and it's only going to cost him $4 million in dead money. Considering the salary cap is going to be a projected $200 million next year, 2%, yep, he could do it if he wanted to. And that's why you hear a lot of the, who is the pressure on more? Kirk Cousins, who just performed in a big game, but now is he ready to do it a second straight time? Or Jimmy Garoppolo in his first playoff game as a quarterback on a Super Bowl contender? We move on to the night game, speaking of Super Bowl contenders. The Baltimore Ravens, pretty much ever since October 1st, where they haven't lost a game, have played like the team to beat. Not only with the league MVP, but also it's this, how do you stop an offense that nobody else runs? Now, we went down this road last year with McVay and the Rams. It's funny how we talk about McVay's offense with the Rams, not so much Goff. And when we talk about the Ravens, we mention Lamar Jackson more than we do John Harbaugh and the offensive coaching staff. That all said, here we are again. First up to try to figure it out, slow it down, and then do enough offensively to beat it is maybe the second hottest team in the NFL to Baltimore, the Titans. Because while Baltimore has clearly been the best team in the NFL since October 1st, the argument can be made that the second best team in the NFL since November 1st has been Tennessee. Much of that credit also goes to their quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. In just that, it changed the Tennessee Titans from a leadership standpoint, from an intangible standpoint. Look, Tannehill threw for 82 yards last week against the Patriots. 82. There are scoring drives where Jared Goff threw for more than that on one drive last year when the Rams were on their roll. Now, does Tannehill do that every game? Are we saying he's the next Trent Dilfer trying to win a Super Bowl? No. But that's how Tennessee played it last week, and a combination of how little they asked from Ryan Tannehill, but also how little he produced. It was a Derrick Henry high-volume game where the defense won field position and kept the Patriots out of the end zone and really out of field goal range for much of the second half. So can Tennessee slow? Tennessee is going from facing probably the worst offense in the playoffs last week, New England's, to the best offense in the playoffs in Baltimore. I thought it was really interesting, and I'm still trying to figure out how much of it I'm buying into, that an analyst on ESPN, a former player who I actually like with some of the things that he does, some of the connections that he makes. He's not a loudmouth, and he makes unique observations. Thank goodness somebody does in the sports media. And he talked about how Tennessee's defensive coordinator has faced Baltimore's offensive coordinator before. And it was in a Super Bowl matchup between the Ravens and the Niners. And the ironic part was that that defensive coordinator on the Ravens is now the defensive coordinator of the Titans. By the way, the offensive coordinator of the Niners is now the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. Are the offenses identical? No. They're not. We're comparing that Kaepernick-led offense of the 49ers, yes, back when he actually played, to, and we talked about him as a player, not as anything else, to Lamar Jackson's offense with the Ravens. The analysis about it talked about the cover three, what it does, and how it muddies up the middle of the field and some of the other defensive responsibilities. I actually was thinking about it a little bit more. That Niner team had Anquan Boldin on it. And Anquan Boldin, if you remember, was a terrific red zone target. He made clutch catches. He could beat man or zone coverage to make the big plays, the plays in traffic, or not only in the end zone, but probably on third down as well. The Ravens use Andrews, their tight end, sort of as their clutch pass catcher. Hollywood Brown, fantasy owners know how maddeningly inconsistent Hollywood Brown is. You can have him go off for 200 yards on 12 snaps, or he can give you a zero playing 30 snaps. So I see a little bit of the analogy here. Now, these games are happening, 7 years apart. But I do think we've seen enough in recent weeks, the Ravens game against the Bills, the Ravens game, that first half where they did nothing for the first 28 minutes against the Browns. You know, the Brown defense for a lot of games this year, as much of a dumpster fire as the Browns were, the defense was okay. And at some points was better than okay. Independent of Myles Garrett losing his mind. So I do think there's potential for Tennessee to slow the Ravens and not allow the Ravens to just get out in front, 2-3 scores, take the ball out of Derrick Henry's hands, force Ryan Tannehill to beat them, which he's not going to do. Not against that Raven defense, not against that Raven secondary. Not even with A.J. Brown's best game. Not if A.J. Brown does this week what D.K. Metcalf did last week. But based on some of the schemes, I see a potential for this to be a game. It's both AFC games are near double-digit spreads in Las Vegas. I can make a case more for this one than Texans-Chiefs staying a game into the fourth quarter and not seeing the Ravens just run away with it. In the end, I still subscribe to the theory that since October 1st, Baltimore is the team to beat. Someone has to figure out what they're doing offensively, how to slow it, and have enough snaps against a quality defense and good field position to knock them out. Tennessee is a worthy opponent. I want to see them execute it. It would be a heck of a story if the Titans get on to the AFC Championship game, especially in a year where Belichick is not a factor going forward, and suddenly one from his coaching tree that has done so bad, Weiss, Crennel, Patricia, unfair after 1 year to talk about Brian Flores that way, Josh McDaniels' failed stint, and there would be Mike Vrabel getting on to an AFC Championship game after beating his mentor in Bill Belichick. Let's see if Tennessee can pull it off. Tall task, but I see a path to them being in a position to do it. Tough test for the Ravens this week. In the end, I think they will overcome it and host the AFC Championship game. I'll be back with another Todd Wright Toddcast to preview the Sunday games between the Texans and the Chiefs, as well as the Seahawks and the Packers in the next 24 hours or so. Please subscribe to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Follow me on Instagram at ToddWright2020, or I'm on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Remember, you can email me with any thoughts on something you want me to talk in the Toddcast, something I already talked about in the Toddcast, but put your name on it, give me your opinion, and send it to Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, BrandonLegalGroup.com, and Pin Chasers, hosting the Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl at Pin Chasers Midtown Saturday, February 29th. Go to theboneonline.com to buy your spot, with all the proceeds going to Down Syndrome Association.